dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you may have noticed that the liturgical color today that I'm wearing is red. However, on the universal calendar, it's simply a ferial day. But red is the color for the Mass of the most precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, though not on the universal calendar now, is still observed in the Franciscans of the Immaculate calendar, which it falls on the 1st of July, which is when it was instituted by Blessed Pius IX. But because July the 1st happened to fall on a Sunday this year, then it was suppressed. But so today we're celebrating a votive Mass, which is permitted on days of ferial days, in honor of this feast and of the great gift that we have in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a liturgical note, we celebrated not so long ago the feast of Corpus Christi, of the precious body, the sacred body of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. And in this last week, beginning the Sunday before the Sunday we just celebrated, we had the Nativity of John the Baptist, and during the week, the Solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, and then this feast that was suppressed, honoring the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these fall together not without a certain providential meaning, if not even a direct intention. I'm not sure the whole history of how the dates came about. I know that John the Baptist has to do with the date has to do with relation to the fact that he was born 6 months before Jesus. And so the 24th of June is 6 months before Christmas. These feasts then all refer to the Lord, to the work of redemption that he did, which that word redemption has to do with the fact that Jesus paid the price for our salvation with his blood. He redeemed us by the sacrifice of himself. And though we do have the Feast of Corpus Christi, independent of this the Feast of the Precious Blood, the fact or the value and the mystery of our Lord's precious blood is inexhaustible. And so a specific feast that celebrates, as it were, the nuptial feast and the chalice that contains that precious blood certainly does not exaggerate or overdo the inexpressible value of the precious blood. The feast itself has an interesting history as well. It was instituted by Blessed Pius IX in 1848, which was a terrible year for the Catholic Church up to that point. There was a revolution going on in Italy. If I have my revolutions straight, I did some reading on this feast day because I actually had the privilege to celebrate the Mass of the Feast of the Precious Blood yesterday at St. Mary of the Assumption Parish in Binghamton, New York, because there they do celebrate the Mass also in the extraordinary form. And on the ancient calendar, it's still in force and it's even celebrated on a Sunday. So I did a little research, and Don Geringer, who has a wonderful series of books on the liturgy, on the meaning of each of the feasts, explains that there was a revolution going on, and if I recall correctly, that was the revolution for the unification of Italy. Garibaldi was leading troops more or less under the umbrella of the Freemasons and associated organizations to try to take back the Papal States. And in fact, they succeeded in conquering most of the lands that were then owned by the Church and the Pope. And so the Pope had even been kicked out of Rome. He was in exile in Gaeta, Italy, some hours away from Rome. And Don Geringer says that at that time, he uses an interesting phrase. He says, the eldest daughter of the Church, faithful to her past glories, swept the ramparts of the Eternal City. Well, I believe that's a reference to France. France has often been referred to as the eldest daughter, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the point is that on the 28th of June, there began an offensive to wrest back from the rebels, Rome, and that battle was finally won on the 2nd of July. Now, the 2nd of July was already the Feast of the Visitation, and or wasn't perhaps elevated to the status of a feast, but it was observed liturgically, the visitation of Our Lady to Elizabeth, Saint Elizabeth. And so the Pope, in gratitude for the liberation of Rome, raised that feast of the visit, raised that liturgical observance of the visitation to the status of a second class mass. So you don't need to be familiar with all the ins and outs of how the masses were arranged in a hierarchy of privilege or honor, but it was elevated to a high status. And at the same time, then the Pope, you know, first he recognized Our Lady's intervention, and by elevating her feast day to a higher status, and also instituted this Feast of the Precious Blood as a thanks and reminder to the Lord, our Lord Jesus, that he had pledged and given all of his blood. He did this for the Church, and so a feast to recognize that that price that our Lord paid was a fitting way to thank the Lord and acknowledge this liberation from the enemies of the Church. There's also one other thing I'd like to just tie into this explanation of the feast, just the spiritual significance, if you'll allow that expression, the meaning to our interior life. I want to underline two things that the precious blood should remind us of. First of all, out of justice, the veneration we owe our Savior for his sacrifice, and this is a theme that we discuss often throughout the whole year. It's the whole sense of our religion. But it is a question of justice. Our Lord gave everything for us. He didn't withhold anything. He gave up his majesty by taking human flesh, and then he gave up his human life down to the last drop of blood for our sake, not for his gain, but for ours. And so it's a question of justice that all sons and daughters of God, which we're called and which we God intends us to be, we all owe Jesus Christ a debt of gratitude, which we can never really fully repay, but at least by honoring him and worshiping him and adoring him, as we do when we practice adoration. There's that, and then there's also the question of love, because Jesus is gift and sacrifice above and beyond that of his life and his blood, he loves us. And that's the significance, the great significance of this feast, a love that cannot be undone. The whole of creation, those who are not with Christ, and specifically I'm thinking of Satan, and the world that we live in is under his dominion, are constantly trying to vie for our love. Satan hopes that we'll love him, or if we're aware of who he is, you know, most people won't love Satan, but many people love the world, and many people love the flesh more than they love God, and that's a danger for all of us. So the gift of the precious blood should also help us practice detachment from the world, from the flesh, and certainly from Satan and all his pomps and seductions, because Jesus Christ loved us so much that Satan can never offer us anything, would never sacrifice himself for our sake, as our Lord did. So brothers and sisters, also Our Lady, and her sacrifice is remembered in the sacrifice of the precious blood. We thank God the Father for his Son. We thank the Son, Jesus Christ, for his gift of self for our sake and the redemption that he won for us by the gift of his precious blood. And we thank the Blessed Mother Mary for her gift of self, sacrificing her any will that she might have. She always submitted it to God and even agreed to her Son's death for our sake. Let us ask for an increase in justice, that we might participate more willingly and generously in any sacrifices we might be called to, offering that up in union with the sacrifice of Christ for the church, for souls. And let us ask for an increase in love for the one who loved us so much. Praise be Jesus and Mary.